Let us turn again to God's word, this time to the book of the prophet Hosea. Hosea and the 14th chapter, the last chapter of the book of the prophet Hosea. And we may read the whole of the chapter. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words, and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses. Neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods, for in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Who is wise, and he shall understand these things, prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. I want to take as our text this morning the first four verses of this chapter, Hosea chapter 14, verses 1 to 4. And really, although we're reading a book from the Old Testament, really these are gospel verses. They speak of God's remedy, his remedy freely provided for backsliding sinners. Confession, repentance, forgiveness, cleansing, salvation. Now, friends, this subject of backsliding is very important for us, very important one. And you must have noticed that there is so much about backsliding in the Word of God. That's why we read Jeremiah chapter 3 this morning also. So much about backsliding in that chapter, as well as in many chapters in Scripture. So much about backsliding. God's ancient people backsliding. The need for them to return. The call to them to return. Sometimes we read of a deaf ear. Sometimes there is the humble confession. There is self-abasement. Backsliding. It's a very expressive term. It's a figurative term. Hosea explains its meaning very literally. He says in chapter 4 and verse 16 of his book, Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. A simple illustration. You can imagine it. It's a steep hill and it's very, very slippery. And this heifer is trying to get up the hill. And she's seeming to go on very well. And then her feet slip. She goes back further than almost when she started. A backsliding heifer. And God says, my people are like that. That's the way they are. So there's so much about backsliding in the Word of God. You know, perhaps we often have a wrong impression concerning what backsliding means in Scripture. We think of Samson, for instance. Didn't he backslide when he sinned with Delilah? We think of David. Didn't he backslide when he sinned in his murder and his adultery? We think of Solomon also, when his heart was carried away in idolatry with those strange wives. And so we might go on, these notable backsliders in Scripture. But you see, the solemn point is this. That was outward backsliding. Backsliding that was seen by the people of God. Backsliding that was seen by the world. Ah, but they were backsliding in heart. They were backsliding in spirit before openly they backslid. And you see, the real point is this. One of the great sins in the Church of God in all ages is backsliding. Backsliding of heart. It always has been. And it is today. It's a wonderful mercy, friends, if we are kept outwardly from backsliding. If outwardly there's no backsliding, that's a wonderful mercy. If outwardly the world doesn't see any backsliding, if outwardly God's people don't see any backsliding, but in our spirit and in our hearts, that secret backsliding. And when we look at it like this in its spirituality, oh friends, we are all backsliders at one time or another. Some more, some less. And one great sin we need forgiveness for is our backsliding of heart. Oh, may we be kept outwardly. We thank God for being kept outwardly, but inwardly, that backsliding of heart, which needs confession, which needs forgiveness, which needs cleansing. And this wonderful passage in Hosea, the willingness of God to restore backsliders, his gracious promise that he will, and only he can. Not the preacher, not yourself. He says, I, who am merciful and gracious, I will heal their backsliding. I will heal their backsliding. So when the Word of God comes close in its spirituality, it should cause us some real concern and self-abasement and humble confession. And just a few things. When the Lord first dealt with us, oh, what holy zeal there was for the things of God. Do you remember that in your own experience? What zeal there was for the cause of God and truth. Now, have we backslidden from that? Have we? In greater or less measure? Is there still that same zeal in your heart, friend? Where is that zeal we knew when first the Lord shed his love abroad in our hearts? This inward backsliding. What about the Word of God also? Oh, there was a time, wasn't there, when it was our delight, our holy delight. Is it still the same holy delight as it once was? That inward backsliding. What about that relish that we used to have, that relish with which we hastened to the house of God, that delight with which we welcomed the Lord's day? Is it still the same? Well, I hope with some of you it is still the same. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Bless God if you still have that love of his day. What about prayer? There's another thing. What about prayer? Is it still the same with us? Is it sometimes more of a burden than it was? Is it sometimes just a formality? Is it sometimes neglected? What about family worship, friend? Is it held as regularly in your own home? Do you have family worship? You know, take a book like the book of Hosea. It's a whole subject of the whole book. And let's be clear, it's not just meant for ancient Israel. It's for you and for me at some time in our life. Perhaps few times, we certainly hope so. It's solemn if it's many times, in greater measure or in less measure. But it's meant for you and for me as well. And you come to the book of the Revelation, those letters to the churches, and you know they deal with this point of backsliding. If you take the first letter in the Revelation, just as one instance, you have a church there, and everything seems wonderful, and everything seems right, but the Lord says this, Revelation 2:4, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. They had the doctrine, and they had the order, and they had the outward prosperity, and there were many things the Lord commended. But they had lost their first love. And the Lord doesn't speak to them as if it's a minor thing, as if this is a little thing. He calls them to repent, and he solemnly promises what he will do if they don't repent. You know, it would be a wonderful thing if you don't need this word this morning at the commencement of a communion season. But sadly, I feel that so often we do need it. There is that becoming cold and hard and dry and dead and formal. And so often we don't really notice it. It creeps up in us. And often, you know, we're satisfied in it because we haven't noticed it happening. And we do the round of service, but it's not just once. It's not just what it once was. And the wonderful message of the book of Hosea, the wonderful message of the gospel, is that the Lord calls backsliding souls to return, to acknowledge their backsliding, not to make excuses for it, not to say that it doesn't really matter, not self-righteously to say, well, what have I done wrong? O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Verse 1. Now, of course, Hosea here is speaking to the Jewish nation. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. The Lord delights to restore backsliding sinners. And however far a sinner has gone, how their Father delights to restore them. And really, of course, the whole parable of the prodigal son is a returning backslider. You can picture his father's love. It's still the same. And the loving welcome that he receives. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Now I hope that none of you will ever take this subject of backsliding as an excuse. Now what do I mean by that? Well, a person might say, you know, I'm not doing very well at present. But you see, that's because I'm a backsliding sinner. And the Lord still loves me. And the Lord will restore me. Oh, that's dangerous ground. If that's what you're saying, that's dangerous ground. Because there is such a thing as backsliding from a profession. See, those who have never possessed grace. And those who perhaps appear right and make a good profession, and they backslide from their profession. That's what I mean. Well, they can be restored. But they have to come to that first point, the new birth, and sorrow for sin, and confession, and fleeing for refuge to the hope set before them. You say, well, what about a case where there is a backslider, and that one is never, never restored? What about that case? Well, you see, it proves that they were never in the secret of the love of God. If you and I are backsliding, the one proof that we are the children of God is if we are brought back. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God. So perhaps I'm finding one out this morning who is going away, is turning back, is wandering. But no doubt there are many amongst you who feel in your heart, in your innermost heart, guilty, Lord. Oh, I wish that I were what I once was. I wish I were what I once was. I wish there were more light, more liberty, more zeal. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. And then that loving welcome that the Lord promises, and that loving welcome that the Lord gives. It's with such delight, it's with such longing that the Lord sees his people return. Do you know, he even tells them the very language that they're going to use. It's as if they could say, Lord, I hardly know what to say. My mouth is stopped. And he says, take with you words. And he tells this backsliding sinner the very language that he needs to use. We say, Lord, teach us to pray. And here the Lord in love and mercy teaches them to pray. Verse 2. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. From your idols and from your waywardness, from your past life, from your coldness and deadness, take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, now, this is a good prayer, and may the Holy Spirit teach you and me to pray it. Take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. Oh, take away my sin. In love and mercy, forgive it. In love and mercy, may it be washed away in the blood of Christ. Take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. Now that's the only way in which a holy God can ever receive a guilty sinner. Graciously. That's the way he does receive a guilty sinner. Graciously. And that's the way the poor prodigal was received. Graciously. That is in love and mercy. That is not dealing with the sinner as he deserved. That is for Jesus' sake. Now what a prayer. What a prayer. Take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. Now this is the one to whom the Lord in love and mercy replied. Verse 4. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. Oh, may the Lord teach us to pray this prayer. Take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. Verse 2. So will we render the calves of her lips. Now what does that mean? We use words sometimes. We use expressions sometimes without really pausing to think what they mean. The calves of our lips. Well, Israel was backsliding. But Israel was keeping all the forms and all the rites and the sacrifices and the offerings, and they were bringing the bulls and the goats and the lambs. They were bringing the calves. But there was no humiliation. There was no confession. There was no crying for pardon. There was no real prayer. Now, says the Lord, it's the calves of your lips. It's not just the dead beast, the calves of your lips. There is that offering, that sacrifice, yes, but not real humble prayer, not real humble repentance, not humbly returning to the mercy seat in the reality of vital godliness. See, that was poor Bartimaeus' prayer, if you remember. He rendered the calves of his lips. It was real. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And like Israel here, he received the answer. He received the blessing. So will we render the calves of our lips. Just in passing, the apostle uses a similar expression in the New Testament, in Hebrews 13:15, the fruit of our lips. In our text, verse 3, Asher shall not save us. The Assyrian, Asher. This is Israel as a nation again. They had looked to the Assyrians for help. We will not ride upon horses. They'd either gone down to Egypt or trusted in their own strength. Neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. This is idolatry, you see. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. If the Lord is graciously restoring you, if he's teaching you to pray, and if there is the humble confession, if there is the reality, then you'll be brought away from all this worldliness. You'll be brought away from all this formality. You'll be brought away from all this trusting in yourself. You'll be brought away from all these idols that you've got. Verse 8, Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. You see, this is ancient Israel backsliding as a nation. Being satisfied with formality, turning to idols, looking to an arm of flesh and trusting to worldly things. And in the spirit of it, you will know this when you truly pray, Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses. Neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. It is in thee and in thee alone. In thee the fatherless findeth mercy. And then you have the Lord's loving answer. You have the backsliding. You have the returning, the repentance, the confession, not making excuses, real prayer, or not formality. See, this is the marrow of the gospel. I will heal their backsliding. Now, have you noticed that the Lord doesn't say, I will forgive it, or I will cleanse it? He says, I will heal it. So he counts it as a disease, a loathsome disease. Backsliding is a disease in the eyes of Almighty God. And if only you and I saw it as sickness, as weakness, as disease. We need forgiveness. We need cleansing, yes,
but that healing.
Jeremiah chapter 8. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? We read some verses from Matthew. You remember that woman with the issue of blood. When she needed healing, she couldn't heal herself. She so desperately needed the healing. But she was incapable of healing herself. And it was a long-standing disease. She had had it for a long time. And she'd tried all kinds of things. But instead of getting better, she got worse. So she was weakened. And she was penniless. And she was ceremonially unclean. But when she heard of Jesus, she came. And the gospel door is still open. Oh, what a mercy. One day it won't. One day it will be closed. When she heard of Jesus, she came. And that's what you will have to do and must do, and where the Lord will bring you. And what happened? Well, everything went wrong. Everything. She couldn't come near him because there was a crowd there. She was separated from him. So what did she do? Did she turn back? Did she go home? Did she, as it were, wait for another communion season? No. She pressed through the crowd. If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. And she did touch the hem of his garment. And how did she get through the crowd? Well, there were two things. One was the importance, the seriousness of her case. It pushed her through. It was our only hope. It was our last hope. Otherwise, she must sink and die. But something more than that. There was an unseen power that pulled her through, that drew her through the crowd, so that she did reach the Lord Jesus. She did come where he was. She did touch the hem of his garment. She was made whole. Do you know, it's a good prayer, that prayer in the Song of Solomon. Draw me, we will run after thee. It's a prayer of someone who wants to come where Jesus is. Wants him like Bartimaeus. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Wants him like God's people here to heal them. But you seem as if you can't come. You're not sure how to come. Draw me. Have you noticed? He doesn't say, draw me and I will go after thee. No. He says, draw me. We will run after thee. You can't move. In a sense, you're like a cripple. But if the Lord pulls, if the Lord draws, not only you come, but you run. Draw me. We will run after thee. And in a sense, she received as good a blessing as any. I think that she's the only one that the Lord Jesus called daughter. Think of that. Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. I will heal their backsliding. So it's a disease. And only the Lord Jesus can heal. No one else can. But he says, I will. There's a certainty here. There's no uncertainty at all. I will. I will do as has been asked. I will do as has been requested. I will heal their backsliding. Who's backsliding? Those who know that they're backsliding, but who take with them words and say unto him and mean it, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. They're backsliding. I will heal. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. And this is a wonderful point. See, a doctor may go to a patient with a loathsome disease and he's pleased he's cured. Nowadays it's not always free, of course, it's private medicine, but the doctor will be pleased if the patient's cured. But it's not that this consultant loves the patient. He's just doing his duty. That's all he's doing. When the Lord heals a sinner, he says, I will love them freely. Sometimes perhaps somebody's sinned against you and offended you, and they say they're sorry. And you do forgive them, but you don't always love them. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. It seems to me as if the Lord says, beloved, that's the end of it. The Lord's not going to start reproving them for what they were or what they've done, or remind them of their obstinacy, or keep saying, mind you, don't do it again. I will love them freely. It's that everlasting love with which from all eternity he has loved his people in Christ. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. For mine anger is turned away from him. Well, does that mean that the Lord is angry with his children? Well, it does. But it's not what we refer to as penal anger. It's not penal wrath. It's not anger under the law. It's not the anger of a judge. It's not the anger of a vindictive enemy. It's the loving anger of a tender parent. This child is sinning. This child is rebelling. Mine anger is turned away from him. And there isn't a greater blessing than that for a guilty sinner. For divine anger to be turned away from him. And yet the Lord has kindly promised this for those souls who in reality say, take away all iniquity and receive me graciously. What a promise attending that prayer. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. For mine anger is turned away from him. Oh, but the vital point. Take this point with you, friends. This vital point. Do you know why God's anger is turned away from this sinner who has sinned against him, who has backslidden? Do you know why his anger is turned away? Well, you say, surely it's because he says he's sorry. Well, the Lord has promised to forgive those who are truly sorry. But that isn't really the ground on which his anger is turned away. It's this. At Calvary, the anger of a holy God fell upon his beloved Son as the sinner's substitute, that that anger might never fall upon that sinner who says, take away mine iniquity, receive me graciously. This is substitution. He instead of me. Christ bearing the punishment. The just for the unjust. That's the foundation of the gospel. That's the foundation of salvation. That's the foundation of forgiveness. That's the foundation of our hope. It's all bound up in that lovely, lovely word. For Jesus' sake. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. Amen.